First Samuel chapter 22. Well, in chapter 21, we read how David was on the run from Saul, and he goes to the priest, to Abimelech, at the town near Ramah where he lived. And unfortunately, that day, there is present there as well Doeg, who is a friend of Saul's, and he goes and tells Saul that David has been given some food by Ahimelech. Well, meantime, David has run away from where he was with Ahimelech, and he's gone to Gath, which was the city that Goliath came from, and then he runs away from Gath when he fears they're going to kill him, and they remember how he'd killed so many thousands of Philistines. And from there he goes to a cave near Adullam. When his brothers and his family heard that he was there, they went out there and joined him. And all those who were oppressed or in debt or somehow dissatisfied with life went to him, about 400 men in all, and he became their leader. Now, David at this time is a type of Jesus. He was the anointed king, and the word Christ means anointed. He was anointed king of Israel, the man after God's own heart. But at this point, all the people who are a bit on the edge of society are coming out to be with him. And these men who are going to be with him in the desert, in the wilderness, these are the men who later are going to be the rulers in his kingdom. And so these people represent us, that we are those who come out to be with him in the desert when he seems a hopeless case, just like it seems that being a Christian is a hopeless case right now, and we're not, it seems, getting any personal benefit from our commitment at the moment, and yet we will be the rulers in God's future kingdom when Jesus is openly proclaimed as king. And we are those who are a bit separate from society, who are oppressed, who are dissatisfied for one reason or another, and who find our ultimate meaning in Jesus and not in this world. Well, David went on from there to Mizpah in Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come and stay with you until I can find what God is going to do for me." So David left his mother and father with the king of Moab, and they stayed there all the time that David was hiding in the cave. Then the prophet Gad came to David and said, "Do not stay here, but go immediately to the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. Well, I think that when David was in Moab, he would have thought, well, I'm outside of the area where Saul is king. My mum and dad are here. Maybe this is the right place to be. I'll just wait here until Saul dies. As God said, Saul is going to be killed one day, and then I will become king. But then God says to him through the prophet Gad, "No, don't stay here, David. Go back to Judah." Well, that was where Saul was king and where surely Saul could kill him. I would have thought if he had to go back to Israel, at least he should have gone maybe to the north of Israel or somewhere far away from Saul. But Saul was from Benjamin, and Judah was next to Benjamin, and God tells him to go there. So very often we're told to do things which are quite against what seems to be common sense, and that people from a worldly point of view might say, "Oh, that's stupid." But the wisdom of this world is indeed foolishness with God, and likewise, the ways of God are seen by them to be foolish. As Paul says, that God could save the world through a crucified man, a man crucified on a stake of wood, is indeed foolishness to so many people. And yet, that is the ultimate truth and power of God. So he's told to go back to Judah, and he obeys, and he goes and lives in the forest of Hereth. Saul was in Gibeah, sitting under a tamarisk tree on a hill, with his spear in his hand and his officers standing around him. And he was told that David and his men had been located, and he said to his officers, "Listen, men of Benjamin, do you think that David can give you fields and vineyards, or make you officers in his army like I can to you? Why are you plotting against me? Not one of you told me that my own son, Jonathan, has made a covenant with David. Nobody cares about me or tells me what David's doing. and nobody wants to realize that at this very moment, David is trying to kill me, and my son is encouraging him. Well, this is all the ravings of somebody who's become so obsessed with his hatred of David that he's starting to imagine things that aren't true. And John says in the New Testament that if you hate your brother, you will walk in darkness and you will not see the light of life, and eventually you will stumble. And that's what happened to Saul, and it's what happens to all people who hate their brother, that they end up exaggerating things and imagining certain things, and they become really convinced those things are true. Like here with Saul, David's plotting to kill me and my son Jonathan's encouraging him. It's just not true at all. Well, at this time, when we imagine Saul under the tamarisk tree with his officers standing around him, at this time Doeg was there, and he said, I saw David go into Ahimelech in Nob. Ahimelech asked Yahweh what David ought to do, and then he gave David bread and the sword of Goliath. So Doeg's trying to sort of grease up to Saul so that Saul thinks, ah, yes, here's someone who takes my side, here's a good man. So King Saul sent for the priest Ahimelech and all his family, who were priests in Nob, and they came to him. Saul said to Ahimelech, Ahimelech, I am your servant, Ahimelech replied. Saul said to him, why are you and David plotting against me? It's complete nonsense. Ahimelech and David were not plotting against Saul. Why did you give him food and a sword, and why did you inquire of God for him? Because David's turned against me, and he's trying to kill me. Ahimelech replied, David is your most faithful servant. He is, in fact, your own son-in-law, and is he not the captain of your bodyguard? He is respected by everybody at court. Truly, I did consult God for him, and I have done so many times. And you must not accuse me or anyone else of plotting to kill you. I do not know anything about this. The king said, Ahimelech, you and all your relatives must die. He said to the guards around him, kill the Lord's priests. They have plotted with David, and they didn't tell me that he'd run away, even though they knew it. But the guards refused to lift up their hand to kill Yahweh's priests. So Saul said to Doeg, who was an Edomite, remember, he wasn't an Israelite, you can kill them. And Doeg killed them all. He killed 85 priests who could carry and wear the ephod. Saul also ordered that all the other people who lived in Nob, the city of the priests, be put to death. Men and women, children, babies, cattle, donkeys and sheep were all to be killed. That's what you called guilt by association. That, oh yeah, I hate this Ahimelech, so I'll kill his family. And come to think of it, I will kill all his donkeys and animals. And actually, I'll kill everyone in his town. This shows the extent to which Saul was just so crazy with hatred. So when you feel hatred or anger towards your brother, you've got to stop, because if you don't, this is where it goes. But Abiathar, who was one of Ahimelech's sons, managed to escape and went and joined David and told him how Saul had killed the priests of Yahweh. David said to him, I knew it that day when I saw Doeg there. I am responsible for the death of all your father's house. But stay with me and do not fear. Saul wants to kill you as well as me, but with me you will be in safety.